Roni's Own Media and Roni'sOwn.com proudly present the Once Upon a Time fan podcast special episode. Your hosts are Jeff and Colleen Roni from Orange County, California. And now, on with the show. Hey there, check this. There's a number of ways that you can stay connected and interact with the show. Our main website address is onceuponatimepodcast.com. Our Twitter name is OUAT Podcast. We are on Facebook at facebook.com/OUAT Podcast. Our email address is oncepodcast@gmail.com. Our blog web address is at aclosereloukOUAT.ronizone.com. And our voicemail line phone number is 657-333-0626. Thank you for listening, connecting, and interacting with us. Now, back to the show.
Ladies and gentlemen, and dwarves, it's 9:12. And the First Thoughts episode of the Once Upon a Time fan podcast is now rolling.
Yes, it is.
So we've just seen 7:15 a.m.
Yes.
That episode.
Mm-hmm.
And what'd you think?
Who are you and what are we doing?
Okay. My name is still Jeff Roni, and I am one of the hosts of the aforementioned podcast.
Yes.
And you are?
Colleen Roni.
Yes. A lovely
call. I only say that because we may have brand new listeners who choose to listen to this episode before they listen to anything else.
Okay, good point. Hello, new listeners.
Just in case.
Welcome to the show.
Yeah.
So, what this show is it's a directly after we watch the episode. We haven't looked up anything. We haven't studied anything. We haven't rewinded. Yeah. We've just watched it straight through. So, our facts may be a little hazy, but these are our first thoughts.
Right.
So, did you want to start with one, or what did you want to do?
I liked the episode, but there were a couple things I was like, really?
Really? Okay.
And then I thought, okay, all right, they're teasing, they're tantalizing. They're giving us, you know, again, what I think is a MacGuffin.
Okay.
Anyway.
Right.
But I liked it. I thought it was really good. It was a little sad. It was a little emotional. I didn't, you know, full on bawl my head off. But I did get very weepy a couple of moments.
There were some really powerful moments.
Mm-hmm.
And it sounds like, oh, Jeff, you're overstating it. It's, you know, it's just, no, but there was a powerful moment or two.
There were a couple of them.
So,
yeah.
We'll get to those.
Yeah. Yeah.
But the first thing I think was the storm. Mm-hmm. And it reminded me of, was it Forces of Nature?
Oh, right.
Where the actual nature and the weather was copying the story.
Mm-hmm.
And so we haven't seen anything since the sinkhole and the mine.
Right.
Kind of reactionary as big as the storm.
Yeah,
so this is true. Like the secondary thing, and it... Obviously, it happened once the stranger came to town.
Yeah.
So, anyway, and the stranger was a little creepy at the beginning. It was kind of weird.
Yeah. Yeah, I wasn't sure what to make of that.
Anyway. But Storybrooke has a TV station.
It does indeed.
And it's telling the weather.
Well, yeah, because it's kind of got to be like sort of like a modern town.
So, you know what I mean? this is what I think, and I may be totally wrong, is as time progresses, things are going to begin to speed up, and I think you'll see more of more recent things in the town. So it's kind of like in effect it's going to catch up to
time warping.
Right. and things are going to catch up to present day as and a faster motion.
Hmm.
That's just what I think.
Okay.
So I think the volcano comment that Mary Margaret made was great. you know, the class is making volcanoes. Mm. And then she's sitting there, and then Emma is basically casing the joint to she's following her mom. Mm-hmm. And walks in and she goes, really making a volcano? And actually she is, mm-hmm. because it's dangerous what she's doing.
Right.
I mean, she's there to see David, but, you know, in effect, she's actually creating a volcano of the situation. Sure. So
no,
anyway,
right.
I thought that was kind of neat. And the old spoon mirror thing. That was, you know, I mean, that's been done over and over. And there's a lot of mirrors in this show, obviously.
Right.
But I thought it was kind of cool because, you know, you forget it. You know, in 2012, everything's iPhone and this and that and all this stuff.
Right.
But the old spoon trick, it was just kind of neat.
Yeah, it's kind of fun.
So, there was the apes taking over the animal shelters. That was a funny joke, you know. They have a Chinese restaurant, I guess, in Storybrooke. That's interesting.
Okay.
So I'm thinking Mulan is on the table.
I'm kind of thinking that Mulan is definitely on the table.
So
that'll be fun.
Yeah. And because Mary Margaret said, and on Thursday I get Chinese.
Yes.
So Snow White is a hunter. Sort of like her daughter mm-hmm. is a bounty hunter.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very, very interesting, the similarity between the two.
Yes.
So.
Yes.
You can say anything else. I mean, if you have any
I'm letting
extra
you
ones.
Go with it. You have a very okay. clear direction. So let's keep going. I'll okay. comment when I need to comment.
So it seems like this mysterious, beautiful red person... Every month she brings food to Snow White.
Uh-huh.
Either she's a very nice person.
Right.
Who really just cares about her. Or possibly it's her sister.
Right. And I know there's been speculation on that she's possibly Rose Red. And it wouldn't surprise me because at one point in time I thought she was going to say something about is our stepmother.
Right, right.
I was waiting for that. But she didn't say it, so it leaves it open. Either way you look at it. But mm-hmm. yeah, it wouldn't surprise me in the least.
So for the folks that don't like to hear Lost connections, just close your ears for a second. Uh-huh. Okay, so that pier where she pulled up to reminded me of the Lost island where the sub came up.
Yeah.
And okay, if you can still hear me, people that are plugging your ears, you can unplug your ears now.
Yeah.
So, but the... On the little stick where Rumpelstiltskin was on the pier,
mm-hmm.
had that the lantern.
Yeah, the lantern.
That I believe his son was carrying in one of the earlier episodes.
Desperate Souls.
And also that lantern was in Mr. Gold's shop as
mm-hmm.
well.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah.
If I get time this week, I will put up some screenshots of
nice.
The two. So
nice.
Anyway, but I'm fairly certain of that.
Yeah.
So the
fact that he... Now, you and I had the discussion kind of during the break, one of the breaks. You thought he just appeared in her boat, and I thought he
yes.
was already sitting on the dock.
No.
Well, and I don't... And that's where okay. I'm like, and we didn't rewind, so I was like, okay, I'm just going to have to wait until I watch it again to confirm or what have you.
If I remember right.
Yeah.
He was on the pier
yeah,
when
yeah.
she pulled up.
Yeah.
But then there was a shot when he was sitting in the back of the boat.
Well, yeah, I think he probably climbed into the boat.
Well, all right. I loved when he said, I snatched some hair from your heed. And it reminded me of...
So I married an axe murderer. Mike Myers. That was brilliant.
And that was really, really funny.
But I wonder, and I've never heard this, so I don't know for sure, but I wonder if that's kind of a maybe a regional dialectic thing.
Oh, yeah,
in Scottish.
Yeah. Definitely so.
Yeah,
but anyway,
yeah.
That's what I remember.
Which I think is very funny.
Unfortunately, I am not around a lot of Scottish people.
Really? Because you work with one.
I understand that. I've never heard her say heed ever.
No, probably because I don't think that's her regional. But I bet if you ask her, she'll probably tell you that that's very typical. Yeah.
So So love, the word love actually took a lot of a big beating in this show. Rumpelstiltskin said love is the most dangerous thing.
Yeah.
And King George said love was it poisoned James's heart, and that love was, I believe he called it a sickness or something.
He called it like a cancer, an illness,
right.
A disease.
Yeah.
That you have to cure one of two ways, heartbreak.
It's interesting, the more we start to see this fairy tale land, is that there's pain in the fairy tale land, and it's not all perfect. So, in effect, you know, this horrible place that the evil queen is sending everybody to, it's actually kind of horrible where they were.
Yeah, it's not
She's
like,
not happy.
No.
King George isn't happy.
No.
You know, there's a lot of pain there.
But again, you know, she blows everything out of proportion.
Well, yeah.
She does.
All right.
We know that.
So one of my questions is Rumpelstiltskin living on an island by himself?
See, I don't think he is, because he's just everywhere. I mean, I'm not saying that he isn't living on an island by himself, but I don't know. Just that didn't cross my mind.
Okay.
He's everywhere, man. He gets around.
And then you lost fans. I did say island by himself. Anyway. So, you know, it was interesting that the king was more interested in wealth and power. And James saw the crown and said that could feed people.
Right.
And, you know, that shows the shepherd's heart and the kindness that he has.
Right. But remember what he then said. Remember what the king said, though.
Right.
He said, yeah, you see the crown and that would feed people for right now. But if we can secure the connection, we'll be able to feed them for the rest of our lives.
Right. True.
Which, granted, that's a very noble thing to say, and that's probably what he felt he should say. Does he really feel like he cares that in that respect? I don't know. Maybe he does, and maybe we're not giving him enough credit for being nicer than he really is.
Well, you know, and saying, I'm going to say this now, is that, okay, and we've talked about this before, every bad guy came from somewhere.
Right.
And something happened.
Right.
So, you know, as bad as King George is, we need to find out what happened.
Well, I mean, we kind of already know. Well, for starters, he and his wife couldn't have any children.
Right.
And secondly, the one son that he was able to adopt when he was little tiny, that he raised basically till grown man, gets killed in a freaking exhibition.
True.
Right in front of him.
Yep.
So, I mean, yeah, I kind of think that's why he's probably a little
but
grumpy.
I don't think they've shown us that moment yet, though.
No.
So
they showed when he got killed.
I understand that, but anyway, I just...
No, the defining moment, you mean? Yeah.
That crushed him to the point where, you know, he said, okay, you know, no nobility and all this, doing the right thing is over, you know? It's all about money and power.
Well, but I don't know.
So he... King George said something interesting. I want your heart. So it's the same kind of thing. The evil queen, that
She's
kind
got
of
an obsession
thing.
With hearts, too.
Right. Yeah. So,
but I think his was more, it wasn't that he literally wanted his heart, obviously. I think he was really, I really want your allegiance.
It was a similarity.
I'm trying to get your love, wording. But I don't want to use the word love.
Mm-hmm. So, and he also mentioned the role that you've taken. So it was the same as Rumpelstiltskin said, play the role, my boy. You know, you can.
Right.
Whatever.
Right.
So then the dove, I believe it was a dove.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was a dove, too.
That that Mary Margaret saw caught in a net, which is very interesting. Caught in a net.
Right.
So the whole thing about get the dove back to her flock, or she'll be lost and alone forever.
Right.
And there was a scene where David and Mary was kind of protecting the dove in the cage, and I thought of Emma directly.
Oh, yeah.
Is it not only were they protecting her, but they were trying to get her out of there.
Right.
To where safety. She belonged. Because the doctor said at the animal shelter, if it stays here, it's not going to be happy. Mm-hmm. Because it's going to be not with her flock.
Right, right.
So, anyway, just thought that was kind of interesting.
No, that was very interesting.
So.
And who's the doctor? Who's the vet?
Yeah, I do not know.
Can't wait to see who he turns up to be in Storybook or fairy tale world.
Yep. So the roadblock, you know, normally things that are kind of just there, there's, you know, so there, she actually saw a roadblock with a roadblock sign.
It said road closed, I thought.
Yeah, your road closed, but yeah. It was actually, you know, blocking the road.
I know it's a roadblock, and but then, anyway.
But on the other side, there was no road closed, but actually there was a similar type of thing. It was like, you can't go past it. Now, I think the biggest thing that, well, one of the biggest things that stuck out for me was that I believe in, you know, the weather and all this kind of stuff, but I find it interesting that it washed out everything. There's mm-hmm. this huge swath of nothing.
Right.
You know, and so.
But was it the weather that did that? I don't think.
Well,
it was.
And that's kind of what I'm saying is I don't think there's much beyond that.
So. I think that's the edge of the map,
yep.
So to speak, for Storybrooke. You know what I mean?
I would agree.
That's how they're kind of trapped in Storybrooke, so to speak. There's one road in, one road out.
Yes. And then we see one thing we've been waiting for a long time. We've seen a little bit of Leroy.
Yes.
But we finally saw Grumpy. Now, we've seen Grumpy before.
Yeah.
He took a little James and the other folks down for the tour.
James and Thomas.
Of the Rumpel's cell.
Cinderella, yeah.
But we now see Grumpy on his own mm-hmm. telling his story. So that was just fantastic.
True love.
Yes.
Aw.
Now.
Very sad for Grumpy.
But he said the same thing to Snow White that Leroy said to Emma when they were both in jail.
Yes.
You know, what are you looking at, sister?
Yeah.
So it's kind of.
It's very funny.
Kind of funny.
Yes.
But. Yes.
And I think it's hilarious when the other dwarf came up. I'm like, oh, wait a minute. Who the heck is that guy? And then when he called him Stealthy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, really? I'm sorry. I just thought that was hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
There was an eighth dwarf named Stealthy.
Well.
But that's hilarious.
Yeah, right.
Stealthy.
Right.
It just so doesn't fit with anything else.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that's why they did it, but it's hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I'm the only one who thinks it's funny, but it just made me laugh.
So Grumpy told a story that he had his love mm-hmm. and he worked in a diamond mine.
Yes.
And then he traded. He bought a diamond for his
to
love,
propose.
And it was stolen, and he was swindled.
Mm-hmm.
So my first question is, who swindled him?
Mm. Don't say Rumpy. I don't think.
I don't know who.
I don't
who
think.
It is.
I don't think Rumpelstiltskin went.
So originally there were eight dwarves.
There were originally eight.
And then dwarves. Now there's seven.
Right.
Sadly.
Yeah, it's very sad for Stealthy.
So then the mysterious stranger said, well, what kind of hell would I raise?
If I had bought a donut, too,
right.
Which I thought was hilarious.
Now,
but he was very, who the heck is this guy?
I know. Now, let me tell you something. Now, I saw some little tweets and this and that, and I'm no disrespect to nobody, but listen to me. Listen, everyone. When the mysterious stranger opened up the box, and I was actually a little let down. They should have kept that box closed for a while. You know, there's certain different movies that have this special suitcase and what's in the suitcase. And the more you don't know for the longer period of time, it's more interesting.
Right.
And I kept saying, it was a perfect line. He goes, I'm going to, this box, you're never going to know. You're going to wonder and wonder, and I'm going to take it around to mysterious places for a long time, and you're never going to know. I was going to say, perfect, and or you could buy me a drink, and I'll tell you right now what's in there.
If you let me buy you a drink.
So, and I was just
and
like,
by the way, he didn't buy the – well, he did say sometime, which he told her at the end. But I was like, are you kidding me, really? You're going to, like, show her the box now, even though you haven't bought her the drink yet? She could say no later.
Well,
I was a little disappointed in the hot stranger.
Yeah. Well, okay. There's a lot of these things too, where people expect like something right now. But for instance, Rumpelstiltskin said a favor in the future. And then he said, I'll buy you a drink sometime. You know what I mean? These things are never really kind of tied down. Like, it's just, sometime I'm going to ask you for something, or I'll buy you a drink sometime. It's interesting to me that it's more of the presentation of it. That's more interesting.
Right.
And then when it's actually, well, when's it going to happen? I don't know. Sometime. It was interesting. But I want to say this. He did not write Henry's book. It is too easy. I'm telling you.
Yeah, I don't think he did either.
Listen, people, no disrespect to nobody. People think already. I'm hearing tweets and different things. If he is a writer of the book, wow. That takes a whole different road. And it's too easy. So it's a MacGuffin. It's a MacGuffin. Remember the sheriff and the wolf. Remember that. We want to make sure that we don't take those type of baits. I mean, if you want to, you can.
Yeah, I don't.
But it's
think
too
he
easy,
wrote it.
And I think he's somebody that is something else.
But I do wonder. Okay, so he's a writer. Is he a character in the fairy tale world?
He says he's a writer, and he has a typewriter. Okay.
Well, why else would he carry around a typewriter? And by the way. A typewriter, really? An old one at that?
Well, that's romantic.
It's
and part of this show
sure
is,
it is,
you know.
But I was going to say that just pinpoints it again. You know that there's still this antiquated thought process,
right? Well, I wonder if there's any letters missing. If there's some clues there, you know what I'm saying?
Oh gosh, I didn't even go there, but yeah, that's possible.
So. Anyway, but yeah, when the mysterious stranger was talking about it, I mean, he almost exactly said, this is a mystery box, and the less you know about it, the better. That's kind of, you know, it's going to drive you crazy.
The funny thing is, he still never said his name.
Right, true.
We don't know what his name is.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll bet you any amount of money, when we find his what his name is, we're going to know exactly who he is in the fairy tale world.
Sure.
I'll bet you anything.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
Yep.
It's kind of going to be an obvious, and that's why they're not revealing who he is yet at this point, because they're not ready to reveal who he was in fairy tale world. Because he has to be.
Right.
He's got to be. And here's my question. How the heck did he get back in? How did he get out in the first place? If he's a fairy tale character, which you're assuming he is.
Right.
And he got himself out of Storybrooke, what bad thing happened to him?
Well,
and then how did he end up back in here?
Mm-hmm. And we will find out. So the bulk of this episode to me was that love is tough and it's messy.
Yep.
But romance is easy.
Oh, yeah.
It's the feeling of let's just run away. I mean, really... Charming was kind of going, let's just run away. It's going to be perfect. And a lot of what Mary Margaret initially was saying, and that Snow was said at the end, was just reality.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know what? You could live on this romantic idea that you've got about me, but I'm never going to love you like she loves you, you know, and it's hard. And it's tough, but that's what love is. I mean, romance is it fades, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And it's a feeling, but love is the work, and it's really hard.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, it's just like, are you up for it? And, you know, I know there was a kiss at the end, and that's cool, and we'll talk about that in a bit. But there was a point where I was saying, that's what they're trying to, you know, get us to understand, is that Storybrooke is all about understanding reality,
mm-hmm.
you know. And so that I thought was actually kind of nice, you know. And I know the women are like, what are you talking about? But it's like, you know, there's a reality to it. And there's all kinds of different... Two people fitting together is a tough, tough, tough thing. I don't want to go off on a tangent, but it is. So
it's true.
So we'll move on. I imagine we'll get a number of voicemails and emails from that. So
yes, I'm
birds,
sure.
Birds, flocks of birds flying. We've seen that a number of times in this show, actually.
Okay.
And I don't know exactly what they mean, but you know, if you run it back, especially there's episode one, there were birds, flocks of birds flying. So just wanted to bring that up. And it was really, to me, kind of cool after all the Twitter hullabaloo of when David told Mary Margaret no, that Snow basically did the same thing.
Yeah, she turned around and did exactly the same thing to him.
Yep.
She lied to him.
True.
And that was pretty heartbreaking.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it is really difficult. You know, they end up together. And that's the thing. You know they're going to end up together. So that's why I wasn't nearly as upset as I think, you know, maybe I might have been if I didn't know the end game.
Well, but we know the end game, though.
And that's kind of the you know, the blessing and the curse. We know the end game. So, woohoo, yay. But on the other hand, it's like, well, crap. Now it's hard to feel too badly. I mean, it is heartbreaking. Don't get me wrong. But I also know that, okay, there's a bright spot because at some point in time, we don't know when, but at some point in time, they will end up together.
Yeah. And there's certain points in time when things are not fully developed. For instance, Mary Margaret bumps into Catherine in the store.
Yep.
The pregnancy test falls out.
Out of her basket. Yeah.
There's an assumption. And then, of course, Regina puts in her little 2 cents. And then there's an assumption made. But in the end, that was not the case at all.
Right.
And it, so, but anyway, it's kind of another story plot trick. Not a trick, but it's just a plot device, is that when people see something, that's what they assume, and then they kind of move forward in that. But actually, it turns out it was completely different.
Right.
So, but then the next section was probably, to me, the most brilliant scene in Once Upon a Time, to me, that I have seen thus far. This show became a deep morality lesson that came from Grumpy.
Oh.
And listen, I thought that it was fantastic. You know, all these people saying, well, it's this and it's that and it's blah, 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 blah. That scene when Grumpy explained that even if you could get rid of your pain, that it actually makes you who you are.
Yep.
You know, and look, and people listen and say, well, Jeff, that's obvious. Think about it. If you had an opportunity to drink away your pain, that would change you, and it may not. You would not be who you were. And it was just so cool to see Grumpy. I mean, yeah, it's a little bit funny, right? but it is, he understood that pain of loss made him who he was.
Right, he embraced
and
it.
And because of that, he cared enough about this woman in a jail cell whom he didn't know.
Right.
But his heart was still open to care. That was great.
Yeah. Well, and that's because...
Oh, man.
That's because she didn't beg him to help her out.
Yeah.
She didn't beg and plead. She just said, I hope you find...
Right.
Whatever makes you happy. Or
right.
Whatever, you know, your love. You know, I thought that was brilliant. And that's her. That's who she is. I mean, look, Evil Queen's always talking about how horrible she is and how nasty. And you don't know how bad she is. Well, you know what? Really? Because she just told Grumpy... who told her a very sad story, and basically, you know, he's kind of bitter a little bit. And she turned and did something really nice and said something really nice and kind and genuinely meant it. I mean, the letter she wrote to the evil queen before the huntsman was about to kill her. I mean, I think that's the real Snow White.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Well, I really noticed that
she's a real person.
She is. And Snow flew from her love, possible destiny at that point, flew away and found her flock with the dwarves.
Mm. Mm.
And she was accepted and part of them.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was great because they shared in the loss and they were in it for each other.
I love the fact that she said, "Where are you taking me?" And he said, "Home."
Yeah. Yeah. And see, that was another, with a dove is, going home.
Mm-hmm.
You know, home's a powerful thing.
Oh, yeah.
And, it was just the acceptance in the group and all this. And, we saw Meg again. And,
and Jeffrey and Michael Faustino. And
just the whole
David,
group.
David, Gabe, we saw them all.
It's such a powerful moment. And it was just so good, so great. And he just,
they were so cute. I was like, oh, she's so lucky to hang with the dwarves.
Yeah. And I just, that was such a great scene. So good, So, that's pretty much it, Look, you want to talk about the kiss?
Are you kidding? I was going to say, that's not the end.
All right, okay.
The end is the kiss at the end, which was, I was waiting to see if Abigail was going to be the one to see it, or if it was going to be Emma that was going to see it, or Henry. Because, there's so many possibilities, depending on who saw it. The fact that it was Regina, she's got the most impeccable timing. So that, in and of itself,
or she knew. Anyway, go ahead.
Or she knew.
Yeah.
But bottom line is, Mr. Gold wasn't there. He didn't see it, but he knows. Second was, Regina did see it. So at some point in time, she's going to throw that right back at Mary Margaret somehow to dig at her, to threaten to tell Catherine or something crazy like that. But if it had been Emma who'd seen it, what would Emma's reaction have been? Kind of wonder. Because, Emma said, if he leaves the wife, then, you should go pursue him. But if he doesn't, you don't want to get involved with a married man. Ding, ding.
Right?
Then if it had been Henry, he would have been excited, thinking that they were going to remember who they were, and he would have pestered the daylights out of them, right? And what if Ruby had seen it? What would Ruby's reaction have been, considering how Red reacted when he told her that when Prince James came back and was looking for Snow White, and she's like, she hasn't been back since, what did she say? Since she left here.
Right.
To go find you. Oh, that was it. Since she left to go find you. And then, which we don't know how long that was.
Yeah.
We have no idea. So then, if Ruby had seen that, would she have, been excited like Red was when she heard James say that he was going to look for her? He would find her. He'd always find
her. So I'm going to ask you so what was interesting about the kiss? Two things I noticed.
Well, okay. Are you talking from a technological standpoint or from a fairy tale, romantic storyline standpoint?
Well, tell me what you
think. Okay, so first thing I saw was the fact that they did their big kissing thing. They just went at it.
Right.
Went just slammed into each other like a couple of magnets.
Mm-hmm.
And then the camera circled around behind
What else did that? When have you seen that before?
I've seen it in a number of movies, actually.
Like?
Never Been Kissed, for one. That's the most recent one.
I was thinking Vertigo.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
Vertigo.
Hitchcock.
Alfred Hitchcock.
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic director. Great master. There was a kiss that Jimmy Stewart was kissing Kim Novak.
Yes.
And the camera was going around and around and around. And it was this idea that he suffered from vertigo, but he was getting dizzy with love, falling right. in love with her.
Yes.
And that's the one thing I noticed. The camera going around.
The camera going around was mm-hmm. what I definitely noticed, but it didn't. I didn't connect it with Vertigo, but now that you mention it. And by the way, if you are interested at all, definitely watch Vertigo. Great movie.
I saw Vertigo in the theater when they re-released it in the mid-80s, and it was mm-hmm. fantastic.
It's an amazing movie.
Anyway.
We digress.
The second thing I noticed is that there were not any flashbacks that I could... Because normally they go into right. the eye and...
You're right.
You know what I'm
you're
saying?
You're right.
So I was waiting right. for that, and I didn't see it.
Oh, and see, that was the whole thing. Oh, the other thing that I picked up was when Mary Margaret was sitting at her table, and it was 7:15.
Right.
And Emma reached across the table. Sorry. I was reaching across the table and I hit the right. phone. Mm-hmm. She reached across the table and held her hand.
Yep.
That was a very sweet and very tender moment between the mother and daughter. But there was no flashback. And that was the first time they've touched. Right?
Right.
As far as we know, as mm-hmm. far as we can tell. And I was kind of disappointed there wasn't going to be some sort of little flashbacky thing or some sort of... There was nothing other than just a sympathetic... And Mary Margaret being grateful for the, you know, the care.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So I was a little disappointed there, but I was happy that they had that moment. It was very sweet. And, I was kind of wondering if there would be any kind of flashbacks. So obviously there's got to be something else. But, wait. Here's why I think there's no flashbacks. You ready?
Okay.
Because what was the last scene? The very last scene... Before
right.
the very last story, a fairy tale world scene,
mm-hmm.
right?
Right.
She's laying in the bed. Grumpy comes in and he's like, the prince didn't marry Abigail. James okay. didn't marry Abigail. And she's like, who?
Okay.
Because she had taken the potion.
So that's going to be...
She took the potion.
So that's why nothing happened really when she took the blanket and smelled the blanket.
So I think it's going to take a lot more to jar her. Than
but
anybody.
Then why didn't he
Because
see
remember, he got knocked out. He's still going through the amnesia
okay.
thing.
All right.
And we don't okay. know whether he saw anything.
Ooh. Wow.
We
assume the producers
he didn't.
Owe us some type of flashback of something. Okay.
We don't know. But I'm thinking that between the two of them, they're going to be the last ones to figure it out. That's what I think.
Yep. So then we saw the promo for the next episode. And the two things that stood out, obviously, is the Emma Regina war. Now I'm banging into the microphone. The Emma and Regina war.
Yes.
And Sydney Glass saying something about a wish. And then in the logo card at the end, it looks to me like we see
a genie,
which last week we saw Aladdin's lamp.
Yes.
Right in front of Mr. Gold in his shop.
Yes.
So,
yes.
And I actually tweeted Rumpelgold and I asked him about that and he says, can't tell, dearie. That would spoil things.
Yes, it would.
Anyway, but that's it for now, and that should give you guys, and thanks so much for listening, but mm-hmm. that's going to give you guys enough to email and voicemail call in about, and so mm-hmm. we'll deal more with this episode on the regular show.
Yep.
So that's it. Thanks for listening to the First Thoughts episode of the Once Upon a Time Fan Podcast. Please tell your friends and anyone who you think would be interested to listen to this.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to do this from now on. So anyway, right after the episode, we're going to record this and I will upload it soon after. So thanks so much and we'll talk again soon.
Sounds good.
See ya.
Bye.
Bye.